Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Novesi McCall. I am actually hosting tonight, and I'm not sure why. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties getting everyone in. So we will play my absolute favorite peace prayer.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it, we accept it, and we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
Good evening again. This is Novesi calling in from bright, sunshiny, dark, gloomy Pennsylvania this evening. We're having some difficulties, and we are trying to get our co-host, Robin, in. I see that we have gotten a message earlier. Terry is not able to call in. So anyways, I was supposed to be just a nice one today and listen to everybody and run the board, and it looks like I'm running the show. So tonight's discussion was on the Hierophant card, and believe it or not, I don't read the cards, but I know a little bit about them. I do know that the Hierophant card is the fifth of the Arcana cards, fifth in line, and that the Hierophant is actually considered to be the Pope-like figure. When you look at the card, he is sitting there with the two fingers up as if he were the bridge between the heavens and the earth, or the higher spirit and the earth. And he's basically the bridge for humans, I'm going to assume, to be able to talk to the gods. Back in that timeline, I believe that these papacy type persons were more of a political figure. And they held, you know, their little villages. They were heads of their little villages. So basically, I know zero about this card, but I am assuming that this was a card that would find the right word. The pontiff, is that's what I was looking for. He was the, I'm looking here on my description here, he is the builder of the bridge between the deity and the humanity. So I was right. In his left hand, he holds a triple cross. And the Hierophant is typically a male, even in decks that take on a feminist view of the tarot. In most depictions, he seems seated on a throne between two pillars. And those two pillars, I believe, are supposed to represent law and liberty, or obedience and disobedience. Let me see what else I can dig up on him here. Sometimes he is shown with other worshipers, as he is an alternate title as Pope or sometimes Jupiter. The card is also known as a High Priest card as well. He is the counterpart of the High Priestess. Based on that information, it appears that he is politically or a military force, so that tells me it's a very projected type card. So if a person was to come to you and you pulled that card, I'm going to assume, because there again, I don't read these cards, that the direction that you were going to be going to would be in the correct direction as if you pulled this card. Some of these explanations that I read about the other cards, they run usually with what Terry and Robin are telling me on the shows. It all depends on what the question is and what you are seeking in your answers. If you're looking for something in particular with, you know, not something very spearheaded for a definite answer, personally, I wouldn't go to cards. I would go to something else. I would ask a friend or a confidant. But as I'm seeing a lot more lately that people are start using the tarot to help them guide to make decisions. So I'm assuming if you pulled this card, it would be something that, like I said, you were spearheading a project, and this would be the one that would say, hey, this would might be the best card to pull. Go ahead and go with your project. Being that his alternate as the High Priest, I'm going to guess, I'm just guessing here, that it is a very positive card for major projects, etc. I personally would not think that this would be a card that I would want to pull for someone that is looking for love interest, unless, of course, there was love interest back or maybe nice flirting going on. But personally, I wouldn't think it would be the one that I would choose. They're saying in these descriptions of the history of these cards that the papacy was just not a religious force. So there again, we're going back to political and military, so I'm going to assume that be a good card for, I'm just guessing here, for making solid, more determined decisions, like in a business situation or maybe purchasing an item, a large item, you know, a car or a house or a cottage. I'm looking here. It says that he wears a red cape and a blue robe. Or in some decks, he wears a blue cape and a blue robe. And since I don't have my cards right here in front of me, it might be I don't know. In fact, I should go get my neck. So, like I said, I don't read these cards. This is Terry and Robin saying. So I'm winging it here. I am going to look up one other, a little bit of information on this Hierophant card to see what else that I can come up with really quick. I'm sure there's a multitude of decisions here since there's so many different descriptions for every card deck. So we're just going to go with a generality here. This one is coming up very slowly, of course. This one doesn't say particularly which deck, but it looks more like the Rider deck for me. And it says, if it's an upright, it would be considered a religious or a group identification for conformity, tradition, and beliefs. And then if it was a reversed card, which I don't really see the difference myself, that would mean a restriction and challenging for the status quo. Some of the decks, even this one here, and I had questioned this before, a lot of the different people call this card the Chiron card also, the Pope and the Shaman. And they're saying in this particular deck that it is ruled by Taurus, where the other book, the other description said it was ruled by Jupiter. The Hierophant is a very conventional and suggests that you have desire to follow due process and to stay within your conventional bounds, what is typically the orthodox approach. Total sense to me. It also suggests you might be allowed to establish some social structures and traditions, and you may be involved in some sort of ritual or ceremony or the trappings of religion. So it all depends, I guess, according to the way that you pull it, or the way it's laid out, that either right, directly up or down. Oh, thank you, Reverend Shira. He wears three vestments, Shira describes in the chat room. A cape and a crown and a robe. And he has a triple scepter, which represents the three worlds. The higher, the mediocre. I don't know if that's the right word, mediocre. How about mediums? Mediums as in readers, you think, Shira? And the earthbound. Shira says that the cross keys at his feet represent a balance between the conscious and the subconscious minds that unlock the mysteries. Well, Shira, you know more about this than me. I wish you could call in. I know where you're at, so I know you can't this evening. It'd be great if you could. So this actually just embellishes in what I was just reading from the description before, that he is the bridge between the quote-unquote heavens and humanity here on earthbound. So he is the bridge between the human and the ether above. So, I mean, Google it. Well, Google doesn't tell me everything, hon. I'm also seeing that the Hierophant card represents institutionalized for accessing the sacred, and is the carrier and transmitter of ancient wisdom with the religious teachings. He represents a link between us and the divine. For this reason, he is often referred to as the Pope. Traditionally, the Pope is the mediator between God and mankind, as much as the Hierophant represents the spiritual teacher who also helps us into contact with the divine. Unlike the magician, he simply points the way. The Hierophant is the trusted one. I wonder what they, what either Robin or Terry would say about that, because I know not always, or perhaps the reader might be something that they would want to read and how they feel for their cards. So I would say most likely this one would be something, like I said, I'm more structured for important decisions. And here in this particular description, it says that the Hierophant card is good for marriage, alliance, servitude, mercy and goodness, inner conscience and outer conscience. It is for a good point of view reference card, especially for us that need, I really need to study my cards a little better. But I do see a lot of people talking about this quite often, that the Hierophant has been used many times in a situation where where they're looking for major decisions, purchasing, marriage decisions, divorce decisions. Also used as a, regardless of what, if it's reversed or not, I personally would think that it would be something that I would be confirming with or validating with deity, although deity has never lied to me, so I'm not really sure why I'd be conversing with the cards if that were the case. Believe it or not, I'm struggling. I've been in here for 15 minutes. I'm really struggling here, so I am going to put a song on for a few minutes and regroup, and we'll just go from there, and we'll see if we can't get Robin in here. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. Thanks a lot. Here we go. Let's see who we're going to drop in. Okay, that did kick in. Let's see if we can get Dard the Bard in here for Pipes of Pan. I actually really like Dard the Bard, so let's see if we can get him going.
Yeah. feel the triple one's rebirth. Golden light dapples across the woodland as the piper dances and plays his tune. And the hunter horned one, spirit of man, to the moon. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? Can you hear the pipes of Pan on the warm summer breeze? If you can you feel him deep within you as he penetrates the land? May blossom to the bee, the nectar of love is on her skin. Heat returns as passions rise and Beltane's dance begins once again. All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land of old? All of my life I have seen many offerings to the gods and all the wonder that they hold, but how many people really can hear the pipes of Pan as they sound across our sacred land?
To the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
Hey, and we're back. It's Navasi, and we are calling, this is the Power Hours, and Terry is having issues getting in, as is Robin, so I'm going to assume, and I just told Shira this in the chat room, I'm going to assume this show is going to end. It will never air out ever again. Shira also sent me another card reference information according to the Hierophant. And I went and got my card while we were at break, and it looks like there are also two acolytes at his feet, which tells me there's a quite possibility that they are learning from the quote-unquote Pope or the Hierophant, and they would be assisting him in any needs or perhaps in translations. Maybe if the deities spoke to the Pope and the Pope came out with a different language, perhaps, I'm not sure, but it could happen. I have had myself had communications and We have, oh, looky here, we have Robin. Here I'm stuttering around, and I look at see Robin in there. All righty then, we'll be there just shortly, Robin. Good evening, Robin. You're live.
Hi, Niv. Sorry about that. I'm finally
That's
here.
That's okay. It was tough. Sometimes it's tough to get in here. People don't realize. We try to get in here early, and sometimes we can, sometimes we cannot.
Well, I was listening a little bit to, I was actually able to listen a little bit to what you were saying. The Hierophant card sometimes represents not only the priest energy or the learned spiritual guide, if you will, but sometimes also the pomp and circumstance, the complications, if you will, related to the spiritual trappings, the spiritual seeker.
Extenuated situations, that sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what you're trying to get to?
You know, think of the priest of your local church, and all the stresses and the difficulty and the things that go along with that position that he needs to juggle and balance. And oftentimes, you know, he has power, but it comes at great sacrifice.
Well, I agree with that. Even local HPs and HPSs.
Mm-hmm.
They have, you know, we do have several groups in my particular area, but they are usually sort of look towards the one major group to help them if they're, you know, if it's a major decision. We have two groups here that take care of certain issues, and if it's a political mm-hmm. thing, then they'll come to get where the meetings of minds, which actually would help whoever is needing to make that complete decision.
Mm-hmm.
So you do need to have a balance, I'm going to assume, that, you know, or ears of something else that's going on around, and you need to hear that information. I would think you would need information from both sides of the story, whatever the situation was. And I'm saying that the Hierophant actually needs somebody to be able to give him, because he can't be everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
I mean, that's what I'm looking at.
Right. If you look at the card, there's so much mm-hmm. symbolism in this card that's rich. You know, again, the repeated symbolism of the sitting between the two columns or towers of
right.
knowledge, sitting at the entrance of the library of knowledge, if you will, the secret
mm-hmm.
secret knowledge. Also, you know, the keys are at his feet. The keys to knowledge, and the supplicants, the lesser monks or priests, if you will, at his
feet.
Oh,
the acolytes, okay.
The acolytes, yeah, looking up at him.
Mm-hmm.
The intimation here, and again,
there
are two.
There's a lot in there.
Yeah, there's an awful
yeah,
lot
there
of symbolism here. And, you know, just knowing that, again, he's like the high priestess, sitting between the pillars of knowledge, guarding the entrance. He's the gate. He's part of the gateway to that knowledge. So you have to walk that path of the spiritual seeker and your own sort of high priest or person who will be in charge of that spiritual path for others
mm-hmm.
as well as for yourself in order to attain that knowledge. To me, that's the intimation here of this card. But when you throw it in a reading, sometimes it can tell you are lacking this or you need to go after this, that sort of that knowledge, that position or power.
And like I was telling our listeners earlier, he's basically the bridge between mankind and the deities. Is that, am I
mm-hmm.
correct on that? I mean, if he's being the gatekeeper, so to speak, to the library of that knowledge, wouldn't he be also considered something like that?
That's an aspect of the high priestess in some ways. So this would be the male version of that a little bit. And again, that's mimicked in the card because the throne and the sitting between the pillars of knowledge.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's also talking about having to be in balance and in harmony with all those things, and the importance of being in balance and in harmony with yourself and with the world around you before you can actually be any kind of spiritual leader.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I have to chuckle about that. And it is difficult at times, mm-hmm. and I've been in those situations as well where I was being told one thing by the physical person, and deity says, no, you know. So you're not really sure who to believe. I mean, you're supposed to trust your deities, but why are they telling me two different, you know, deities tell me one thing, humans tell me another thing, situation is completely different and here in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I do see that, you know, in reality, you do trust your deities. That is your first instinct.
Mm-hmm.
And it should always be. That's why I have a little bit of issues with these cards. Sometimes I don't trust the cards either. And like I was telling listeners earlier that we were, there's the description that was talking about the reversal. And the reverse in one of the descriptions was saying that it was more of a religious incantation as
mm-hmm.
opposed to being upright. And that would
mm-hmm.
be like for making major decisions like marriage.
Well, the Hierophant, part of his job is to remind us that we're not alone and that deity is there for us.
Mm-hmm.
And like any good person of faith or high priest or priestess or whatever, he's a teacher and a therapist and a counselor and an advisor. You know, that's basically what priests, rabbis, you know, high priests and priestesses do inside their community. They embody the traditions of a faith and help people go forward and learn those traditions, and they keep those traditions alive in as well as they keep those traditions alive, and can also be a guidepost or a touchstone, if you will, in times of crisis, to remind you again, as I said, that you're never really alone. There's always something there with us, some you know, divine spark with us. And a lot of times if you're getting this card, I don't necessarily do reversals when I do readings, but I know most people
do. I've never known that you have. I know some have, but I know that you
mm-hmm.
haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it sort of confused me. I'm like, but it's really almost depends on what the question. Excuse me. That came out of nowhere.
Bless you.
Well, thank you. I apologize. The reversal, the way this one description was telling me, it was basically almost the same thing. It just would depend on the question
mm-hmm.
or what the seeker was needing advice upon when this card was being pulled.
I was going to say, sometimes if it is in a reversed situation, sometimes, and again, depending on the question or the seeker, but sometimes it'll indicate that somebody's being too rigid or sticking to their, you know, dogma a little too hard, they're refusing to deviate one bit from their, you know, traditional or old-fashioned ways of doing things and being the orthodox type. And
well, we know a few of those priests.
Well, yeah, and that's sort of like
what we
mean,
though.
What it would mean.
But the problem is, though, we do need them, And a lot of people don't think we do, and in reality we do need them. And yes, there's always that outside influence of modern, what I want to say, it's not even just influence, it's just a different timeline, and maybe somebody might see something differently, and they're going to go, nope, it's taught this way, we're going to do it this way, I was taught this way, we have to do it, blah, blah, blah. But the younger audience will say is bringing in the same information, they're just approaching it a little bit differently, and I think that's what that reverse card would represent. That might be the quote-unquote new way, so to speak, not to be so rigid, not to be... But see, I'm not really sure because I don't know.
Well, it's a card of, in some ways, it's a card to remind you of your traditions and your faith and the things that, the lessons and the information that's gone before. And to be able to tap into that knowledge and weigh it and utilize it when it's prudent, you know, is also part of the Hierophant. It's a deep card. It has a lot of nuance and meaning, and it is definitely one of those cards that needs a good time to be spent with. You know, one of the things Terry and I talk about is that people need to meditate with these cards every day.
I do, and that's what I've been doing since you guys have been doing this series.
Mm-hmm.
I am learning it. I've had a lot of negative with it in many years ago, but I thought, you know, I'm going to give this a chance. I need it for me, not for any of my students, but for myself. I really feel like I need to know it for me in case my students go, hey, do you know anything about this? So I would at least have generality, and I have been spending time with the cards. And this one here just pulled me for a loop. That's why thank you, Shira, Reverend Shira, for helping me out here. She goes, I Google it. I went, yay, we're both in the same boat then. But it's good information because I'm pulling up different ones. After I was informed I needed to run the board this evening and I was finding out one thing and then she was finding out something else. And it's interesting that this one card can represent the two above cards, the priest and the priestess, as well. And it was a little confusing by the different descriptions from the different deck descriptions.
Right.
So everybody has their own interpretation, but this one here I'm more comfortable with... the Rider-Waite, really, and if I could have my magnifiers, I could actually read that on and how they read what their description was. But it's been interesting learning about these cards. We just came out of a radio break, but we will take another one. And this way everybody can get caught up and relax. And we'll be right back. Let's see what we can put up. We put up Pan earlier. Let's see if we can... find, ta-da, if I can find on this board something might be a little relaxing here. How about we play chocolate? It's one of those nights we need some. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Spiritual Wellness and Physical Health with your hosts, Robin A. McKean and Lisa Ribble. This show focuses on helping you integrate your spiritual wellness, your physical body, and your emotional health. We talk about fueling your soul and inner self, as well as the right food to fuel your body.
And now, here's Robin and Lisa.
And hello, everyone. How are you this evening? It is Friday, February 6th, 2015. And tonight, the show is about my favorite topic, chocolate. I am a chocoholic, I admit it. It's always the darker, the more bittersweet, the better. I love it. I know some people like the milk chocolate, white chocolate. I mean, I'll eat it all in a pinch, but the darker, the better. So why tonight's show is why do we love chocolate? What is the love affair that we have as human beings with chocolate? Where did it begin? And what does it do to us chemically that makes us desire it? And Lisa, you're here with me tonight as always, my partner in crime and in chocolate.
I'll tell you
although
the truth.
You're not a chocolate fan.
No, chocolate gives me migraine headaches.
I know.
Which is a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah,
but
I was reading
today. Now let's see if I can find it. I probably can't because there are chemicals. There's actually chemicals in chocolate. Now I probably right here it says that it's very true that the chemicals in chocolate have a stronger effect on women.
Mm-hmm.
As we are far more susceptible to the, okay, you're going to have to help me out here, phenylethylamine and the serotonin that chocolate contain.
Mm-hmm.
And women are way more, I guess, affected by the aphrodisiac thing.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly it decreases our inhibitions. Now on men, it seems to have an energizing effect, which works well together.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the way it works, from what I've read, is chocolate releases these little chemicals in our brain that make us think we're in love. It's the same chemicals that are released in our brain as when we are in love with someone. And that's amazing when you think about the connection of chocolate and love, and this is something we just found out like in the last 20 years. How do we know this stuff? Isn't it interesting? So,
well, now I know why it gives me a headache. Because love gives me a headache.
you're too funny.
That's true. It's true. But I do have to say, you know, there are times when even I am just dying for chocolate cake.
Yeah.
You know, or my most favoriteest chocolate. There's two chocolate things that I do eat regularly: Three Musketeers,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's because it's not all chocolate. Like that stuff in the middle, it's like not really chocolatey.
Yeah.
And I love those stupid Drake's cupcakes with the white swirly thing on top and the cream inside. That's my breakdown when I need chocolate thing.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I don't like either one of those.
Well, of course, because they're fake and they have a lot of GMOs and chemicals, and they would survive. Hey, look, Drake's Twinkies, every movie you ever see, they survive any Holocaust we ever have.
That's right. That's right.
If there's an apocalypse, don't worry about it. The Drake's cakes will survive.
That's right. Well, the roaches need something to eat. So.
Thank you. Thank you. You're so kind to me. But I digress as usual.
Mm-hmm. So Valentine's Day is coming up. And
yes,
this is probably, you know, chocolate overload every single year. Everybody is looking for the newest, most different, best way to give chocolate.
Oh my God,
Valentine's Day.
There's two full
mm-hmm.
aisles in our ShopRite.
Yeah.
Filled with peanut butter and chocolate, caramel and chocolate, salt and
mm-hmm.
chocolate,
mm-hmm.
chocolate covered marshmallows, chocolate covered Peeps.
Mm-hmm.
If you can name
jelly
it.
Rings. You remember those?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course you've got all the chocolate food recipes like,
mm-hmm.
you know, mole and all the stuff
mm-hmm.
that now they're incorporating chocolate into even savory dishes as opposed to just, you know, regular food, dessert food.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And alcoholic drinks even now. You can get chocolate martinis and chocolate margaritas, which I can't even begin to imagine what that must taste like. I love chocolate and I love margaritas, but no. Not for this girl. So
true.
Yeah. So usually one of my easy go-to things at this time of the year are to make, you know, for your significant other, and it's so easy.
And I'm going to guess we're back because all of a sudden everything just stopped working. Okay. My partner in crime has taken off to go make a cup of tea, and I am completely lost here. What happened here? Alrighty, we're going to put the Green Man on by Jenna Green, and we'll be back. Thanks for putting up with me.
Joined in a party, shouting, laughing, full of life. we harm ourselves too. I know you want to be the change. Here's what we can do. Take it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Something. These things are touchy today.
Okay. Are we live?
Go ahead. Yes, we are live. Come on
okay.
back in.
Okay. I started to hear the
yeah.
other thing, so I was like, oh, what? Okay. All right. So we're back, and we are talking about the Hierophant this evening. And one of the last things that Terry and I always talk about is the fool's journey through the tarot. And the fool comes and meets the Hierophant. And what does he learn or gain from his interaction with the Hierophant? He comes to him, as most people do, full of fear and insecurity and doubt. And says, you know, these are my fears, these are my insecurities, these are my doubts. And,
well, it makes total sense. Wouldn't the fool be considered you and I?
Well, yeah. When you're doing the fool's journey through the tarot, the fool represents the seeker, the person
okay.
learning. And so with each introduction to each card, the fool learns something or the seeker learns something. I say this just about every show. Each card is about self-awareness and self-knowledge as much as it is about divination, which is very true of everybody's, you know, of your own spiritual path. It should be about learning and moving forward on your personal, you know, journey, as it were, in your own life and learning something. And you know, you never stop changing and learning and evolving, because when you do, you might as well just curl up your toes and die. I mean, you and I had a little conversation
right.
about that over the weekend.
Right. No stagnation allowed.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that really is our purpose as the high priest or priestess, is to help others along their journey, not to tell them how they should live their life. You know, not
no
to
way.
Tell them.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to take that responsibility of telling them, hey, you have to do this, you have to do that. Although there are certain religious traditions where that certainly does happen. But
right.
our true purpose as a high priest or priestess is to help people see themselves the most clearly, and help them with the challenges that the universe presents them, to see them clearly and say, what lessons can you learn? So when people come to
yeah.
Hierophant, or the fool comes to Hierophant with all his fears and doubts and insecurities that we all have, everybody has them. It's about helping
Absolutely.
That person. Yeah, yeah. It's about helping that person identify them and then deal with them in the most productive way. And so when the fool leaves the Hierophant's presence, he leaves more sure of his spirituality, more sure of himself. He has grown and stretched, and ready to continue his journey and meet the next signpost or card, as it were. I mean, right. how often do we do that in life, where we have to learn a lesson and use that knowledge to go forward?
Are you asking me personally? I can tell you, every day.
Yeah, well,
every
day. Sure.
Every day is a new, and seriously, and I laugh about it, but it's true. Every day you're faced with some sort of challenge, and you have to make a decision. Mm-hmm. And if you go with necessarily, I mean, it's not like a life or death situation most often, but most often you do have to come with, okay, no, you can't do this, or no, I can't do this, and we have to do it this way. But then, you know, if you want to do it that way, okay. Like if you're making a cake or making cookies with a child, same scenario. This is the way I do it, and the kid wants to play in it and create something else. Well, you're like, okay, we need to roll this. Now I want to do this instead. Well, okay. It still bakes and comes out the same, but it's just done differently.
Yeah.
And you have to give them that for being creative. But life situations, I think, personally, we do make those decisions daily. We're just doing them so often that we lose the value of that decision. And it could be anything. You know, do I take my medicine today? Do I wait till later this evening? You know, I mean, and those are life situations.
Yeah.
And medication is a very important thing that you do have to have. But that's all. And I look at the higher point, like, well, you know, like, for instance, I'm diabetic, so do I need to take it today? Let me test first. Because I'm not necessarily, can't trust me. I have to trust something else to give me that information, like the acolytes here. But I know that we all have to make decisions.
Right.
And be ready to be prepared. So this would be a perfect card to go to.
And you know, and that is another thing when you are looking at the Hierophant. It really does represent the concept that the knowledge and the go-between you, the seeker or the fool, and the spiritual realm and the spiritual knowledge comes through that high priest or priestess, whereas, you know, in our pagan ideology, we often feel that each individual has a direct connection with that information through deity. We don't need somebody specifically to disseminate that knowledge and interpret it for us and be the gatekeeper, as it were, to that Akashic library, if you will, of knowledge, that spiritual library of knowledge. So it's kind of interesting with the play with this particular card that the Rider-Waite deck and most decks have this card in it as a way of saying, you know, here is the gatekeeper to that knowledge, and it is disseminated through that high priest or priestess. I don't know. You know, I don't know about other people, but I know in my personal practice of my spiritual path, I have a high priestess and have had one and a mentor for many years, and they do help me with knowledge, but my connection to deity is direct, and it's not through
them.
Right,
ours is it's a personal, but sometimes you need that extra interpreter, maybe, of, you know, okay, this is what came to me, but it really doesn't sound right, so maybe you could help me out here, you know, as your acolyte, so to speak, or your mentor that can help you make that correct decision for yourself, not from them. And I understand that 100% because we know who your mentor is.
Yeah.
I don't want to call her an acolyte. She'd come over here and beat me. No, I'm just kidding.
Probably,
yeah.
You don't have coffee in the world.
Oh, I don't know. I got plenty. You know that. After this weekend.
Yeah. Speaking
then we
about...
have to laugh and cut up a little bit. We did spend some time together this weekend. It was a short moment, but we did get to spend some time together this weekend.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. And I was busy running around with my head cut off. But, you know, we live and we learn, and ta-da, we do it again. We will again doing that soap class, but a different one, in a couple of months.
Yeah.
It was really fun, and two of my students were present, and it was fun to watch them react completely differently after circle, you know, after the class and everything, and we got together with the class and or got together on circle, and they both of them reacted completely different than what I expected them to. Like wow. So you just never know what's going to happen. It always is different in circles.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, we're coming up on the 11 o'clock on the money, and I'm glad that you were able to call in and help me out here, because I was flopping around like a dead fish outside.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm sorry it took so long.
Well, it happens. We know that bad connection that you get down there, or up there in the mountains. You know, we have to pipe you in sometimes.
Yeah. Very true.
But I appreciate everybody tuning in, and thanks a lot, Robin, for helping me out. And Terry, stay safe. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.